Pandora makes it easy for you to find your favorite music. Discover new artists and genres by selecting any song or album, and we'll make you a personalized station for free. Download on the Apple App Store or Google Play and enjoy the soundtrack to your life.
Welcome to Foresighted Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
Can we just have a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still a bit traumatized, honestly.
All right, well, we're gonna have to actually start the show, though.
Oh, so, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I know it's sad. I'm sorry.
We can compartmentalize.
Oh, straight into it.
Yeah, right into it. You gotta roll. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What if I roll a one again?
Is it lowest is the host?
Wouldn't be the first time.
Lowest is the host.
Highest is the host. Although it's Halloween.
Should we flip that shit?
Should we flip it and reverse it? Yeah. Lowest is the host.
Lowest is the host. Okay.
Lowest is the. Shut up.
I don't want the red die.
The red die screwed both
of us. The red die fucked
us. Give me my dice.
You're getting it.
Here you go. Here you go, Matt.
One, two, three.
Mine's off.
Oop. Oh, no. Oh, who had the red?
Fuck, I did.
Have you hosted before?
No.
Oh,
it's about
so
time.
All right.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Where do we go?
Boy.
What do we do? I already forget.
Get out of my way.
Okay.
I'm coming.
Oh, and he's doing this in those teeth.
This is gonna be the best fucking. Stop. Oh, fingers are so stupid. Hey.
Oh, no.
No! These teeth are a part of me. Hey, buddies. I'm your seventh tavern keeper. And on behalf of Critical Role, I just want to ask, y'all doing okay? I know we promised y'all a fun Halloween episode of Foresighted Dive, and we were all set up to do so, but the dice, they had other plans. Bales Hells was finally able to nab Armand Treshy, but soon after went toe-to-toe with Odahan, and in the process, they almost lost Fern and Orm. And tragically, they did lose Laudna. It's a sad thing. The laser shouldn't be here. And though Bell's Hells is doing everything they can to bring Laudna back, there's no way of knowing what story the dice will tell. And we thought, there's no way we're doing a fun Halloween Foresighted Dive. Not after that. But then we asked ourselves, what would Laudna want? We thought, she's dead. Who gives a shit? No, she'd want us to enjoy the time we have and remember that even our darkest days give way to the best of times.
That's right.
So before we dive into tonight's episode, let's have a moment of silence for our fallen queen of scary fun.
Fun scary.
Fun scary. I just flipped it.
Is this a spooky episode? I got it.
Oh no! Pate has a delivery.
That's so cute,
buddy.
Wow!
Shut the door.
That's such a good pate.
Air conditioning costs so much.
Wait,
in California.
Don't break him.
Here, you. Yes, here, yes. Take pate. Okay.
Oh, shush.
Someone should pass me.
Stuff.
Warning.
Pick me up and read this note on your mark, written in blood.
Well, hello, governors. It's me, Pate Dorolo. Just checking out this air Foresighted Dive thing.
I've been hearing about. Who wrote this? I think I'll hang my hat here and have a drink while y'all sort out this lot of business. Just please put me somewhere fun where I can see all the action. Even though I'm grieving, I'm still painfully whore. Act disgusted. Read the rest of the show. Painfully whore. Ugh. Okay, Pate, we can't say any of that on Twitch. Welcome to Four Sided Dive. Let's do a fucking spooky show. Welcome back. Let's begin the night.
Oh, no.
Well, singing in there.
What are you going to do?
Let's begin the night with our open discussion segment. What the fuck is up with that?
It's working great.
Read the main topics on the menu. Oh, what the fuck is up with that? Topics. The clash with Odahan.
Yeah.
Odahan.
So,
don't put him back in. Just don't do it.
It's like halfway.
Oh, look, the smoke's coming up between your legs.
What the, really?
It's like your balls are on fire.
The fur is growing up out of my pants. It gets real aggressive. The summer in the southern hemisphere is, it's a little overgrown. They don't make manscaping products for this shit.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is up with our grand exit from the seat of disdain?
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was going okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a sandstorm blow through. We had good cover. We were also aided by an assault from parties unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of the entire first half, like, good chaos.
Good chaos.
Yeah. Yep. I think all of us felt kind of indestructible.
We probably shouldn't have tried to get the crawler out. We probably should have just bolted.
Probably should have just left that one alone and tried to sneak instead of like making a very loud, slow exit.
The big diesel-fueled, slow-rolling tank that's easy to trace with its enormous tracks.
And then it took Fern and Ashton like 20 minutes to open the damn gate.
Yeah. That's true.
There are a few factors that
took a little bit.
Well, that was at that point. We also happened to spider climb up into Odahan's grill.
Just to get her attention.
Here's
in case
the thing.
She wasn't aware of us.
You know, when I did that, I thought I was maybe gonna like sneak into someone's like empty hotel room.
Oh yeah.
Find their toiletry bag, you know, their little overnight bag, and just slip it in there. I was not anticipating
a balcony visit?
A balcony right in her face. I wasn't expecting to pop up right in front of her face. So,
all things considered, I think you handled it very well.
The darkness was clutch.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I had a cool 3-point landing.
You did?
Jumping off the balcony. So
very
that
cool.
was cool. Yep.
We probably should have been a little alarmed after that, though, and not like, you
just
know,
chill.
Dilly-dallied.
I mean, yeah, you guys had just joined. And you were, you know, your presence was aware. They were aware of your presence. I think...
Her presence was aware.
Yes, your presence was aware.
Hi, man.
It has begin. my brain doesn't work anymore, because I'm a robot.
Why not?
It's just being cooked.
I'm a robot.
You're so cute as a robot.
You
thank
really
you.
Are.
But yeah, you know, the... I'm trying to be serious, guys. Hold on, focus. Eyes up here. But, no, like the
you don't want us staring at your box.
Like I'm pretty free with it. Let's be real.
Oh, it's open source.
Yeah.
Open source box.
Sorry.
But yeah, like the distracting attack on the Seat of Disdain definitely like started off intense and then quickly began to turn against its favor. And Odahan was kind of keeping watch on it to see at which point if it really was a threat or a distraction like she kind of figured out it might have been. I think it was the darkness spell that really kind of set her off to be like, it got you away. Definitely kind of put her in a moment of like,
A little personal?
A little personal.
She wasn't supposed to be there.
I know.
our recon failed us.
It's all good.
Bad intelligence. Very bad intelligence.
It wasn't just that. Yes, I think it was the combination of the darkness spell, the signs that this was intended to be a distraction. It was nowhere near a force that could actually, like, really break through and attack the Seat of Disdain, which wasn't its intent to begin with. And then the crawler escaping, the slow exit. It was a handful of things.
Yeah.
We probably could have, like scattered immediately and then been harder to track.
Oh, yeah, that
would have
been smart.
But also on the flip, if she had found one of us, that person's
for
smoked.
Super dead.
That's true.
Smoked.
Yeah, that's true.
You would have lost one.
You were talking.
Supposed to three.
We were kind of sort of unpacking it on the way back. And
yeah,
it kind of sounded like she was coming after us no matter what.
Not necessarily. If you guys had managed to escape without being seen or noticed,
we would have been fine.
There would have been a manhunt for who was responsible for it, but
oops.
That's okay. But that's how it works. That's how it works.
That's fair.
I was legitimately, when I was going up to that balcony, I was looking for like Ratanish or like any other lieutenant.
Yeah.
The goal was not to find her.
Oh, of course. But what makes the most sense and is most striking in the moment?
Yeah.
Than to you to run face to face with her.
Yep.
Yeah, you did go up to the penthouse suite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think when you first came face to face with Hoda Hahn coming up over the railing?
Oops. I was like, that's not what I wanted. Not good.
I'm not here. Darkness.
Yeah.
Shh. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Pretty
sleep.
Much.
Don't see me. Don't see me. Just kidding.
Don't see me. Yeah.
And then you had the ballsy move to plant a tracking device.
I did. Yeah. Well, I figure I was there.
Yeah, you committed at that point.
I was committed. Yeah. So I wanted to try and get something out of it.
I'm trying to.
We still have yet to find out if that paid off. Or
yeah,
not.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, not yet. I was just thinking, like, in her mind, crazy-ass death woman crawls up over the balcony, boom, darkness, and then she doesn't just leave. You hear, like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Don't touch me.
You didn't just run. You came in and started fucking with shit. She's like, okay, listen.
Yeah, in hindsight, maybe I should have been like, Girl Scout cookies? I don't know.
That's like catching the kids that run for like Ding Dong Ditch.
Yeah,
they open
yeah.
the door and they're like, toilet paper.
Have you considered putting solar panels on your house? Like literally anything else.
Very true. Very true. What was our, did we have strategy? How did it go? Did anybody have any particular strategy?
We have strategy-ish going in. I mean, we did divide and conquer.
And you guys
we did.
You yeah. got Trishy.
We got Trishy.
Pretty infiltration, actually. Like once again, like that first half went pretty well.
Yeah.
Up until the very end.
Yeah, we were rolling True. So well.
Yeah.
In the first half.
I mean, using the weather to your advantage, using the distraction to your advantage, like a lot of things were going your way.
Ashton and Fern got some crates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw who the crates were going to.
Uh huh.
Huge.
Saw what was in the crates.
Uh huh. Well, because okay, so that was the other thing. I was gonna plant the ring on the crawler.
Yeah, and then it went down.
And then the crawler went down. And I was like, okay, well, there's no way they're taking this crawler out in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
They would just switch to another crawler. So that was when I switched the plan to like, well, what if I put it on like a general or like one of like right. Ratanish or right. something. But I was literally gonna put it, I was looking for like, cause I was asking where they were moving the crates.
Oh.
Where are the crates? So that was the original plan, was maybe I could find one of the like fancy black crates
mm-hmm.
and yeah. slip it in a crate, and then I just ran into Hoda Hahn and
said, yeah. yeah.
Whoops.
Sorry.
And that was the, when you were sneaking around, that was the second time that we realized that she had a magic Rocketeer backpack,
yeah, the jetpack
or something, or whatever
right.
that is.
Yeah, her shadow
but
pack.
But it was darkness,
yeah, her shadow
so
pack.
We couldn't see it.
Yeah,
her lucky shadow pack.
Yeah,
it makes shadows, but we don't know what it is or how it works.
Well, it makes
well,
her.
Gives her the lucky shadows.
It makes her
yeah,
shadows.
Yeah, but how does she make them? Is it dunamis?
Of course it is.
Dunamis
it's
juice.
The dunamantic juice that she's got in the
juice.
Yeah, juice.
Is there anybody a Dunamancy tree? Oh, is there a Dunamantic fruit?
It's the potions. It's the potions of possibility.
Yeah, but is there fruit now? Is there a Dunamancy tree?
I don't know.
Yes, that's how shit gets started.
If you can pour Dunamancy juice in Ashen's head,
yeah.
Why can't you pour Dunamancy juice on like a fig tree and have gravity figs?
Try it out.
Oh my god, we can have gravity figs.
They ripen and then they just go.
Poof. Yeah.
Like, fuck. This was not conceived properly.
Just taking out seagulls.
Chop down
above.
The tree. Like, yeah.
No, but seriously, if you could pour it into Ashton and he's living with a Dunamantic like properties, then yeah. Couldn't you like grow plants from that same Dunamantic properties?
Yeah. You try to like take a bite out of a fruit and it just
science.
Like,
this is viable.
Dimension jumps.
We should definitely
somebody else's
try
mouth.
This. Whatever we do, we should skip.
Telefeed people?
All of the Voice of the Tempest stuff and just focus on Dunamancy fruit.
Yeah.
There it is.
I mean, we're in a plant place right now, so maybe we just.
We're giving to the druid.
You have said the secret word, and you have to pull from the Tower of Inquiry.
Wait, who said the word?
I do.
Yeah. Druid?
Nah.
Juice?
Nah.
Juice
would have been fun, though. No.
Well, uh-oh.
Oh, what did he say?
What? Oh, yeah. Shake that furry tail.
What did he say?
Tempest.
Tempest?
It only has one.
Tempest?
Yeah, it only has one Tempest? Thing, so.
Why is this shit already leaning? What the fuck? Okay.
I can't. Okay, there we go.
Did it fall? Did it start over?
It did.
Oh.
Yeah, it's new. It's yeah, a new
I mean,
one.
I know. I watched it last time.
What's your strategy, Travis?
I don't have a strategy. Well, I suck at this game.
You should have a strategy.
In the you went for a middle piece?
Oh, safe. Not my thing.
Well, yeah. Look, I'm not a dexterous person. I am all strength-based. Oh, God.
Are they still really sticky? God.
There's no way you can. This is a freshie. A freshie that's not sticky.
Get back in there. Literous bitch. 41!
41!
Put it back at
41.
Yes. Oh no. Yeah.
Can I go sit down?
Yes. Please get the teeth out of your mouth.
Why?
Because it's making me insane.
If only you knew how often I hear that at home.
Because it's making
here, I'm gonna
insane.
Look, this is a FCG flesh tongue.
Yeah.
On the
first
one.
Oh,
I hate it.
Oh, I hate it.
Gross. Oh, that's actually. Yeah.
All right,
question
ready.
41.
Yep.
To any player who's been sent out of the room while secret business happens at the table, how do you avoid seeing spoilers from critters? From Joanne Hartnett.
Oh.
Harnett.
Good question.
I have a great solution for it. Don't look at social media.
It's kind of a, when that happens, we do have to stay off social media in order to not be spoiled.
When Dusk/you was on, I don't, we all like, did not watch the episode that night.
Yeah.
Because we are still pre-taped. So that makes it easy to kind of know ahead of time when to avoid it.
Yeah, for a buffer at least. And then that goes on and just remind you guys, don't watch it.
Yes.
Yeah,
so don't watch it,
watch it though.
But yeah, I think just.
Plus, I think also like half the time when there's a question, if you didn't watch the segment, then you don't really know what they're talking about. So even if you see it, I don't know what that means anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I don't go looking.
Yeah.
It's a good tactic. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, robot. Hey, robot.
Yeah.
Shut down. Robot. Good morning. Handle.
I'm a robot.
If you fart in that thing, it's going to be real trouble.
Oh, I know.
Oh, hey, this
That's
is me.
You're still hot.
Thank you, Joanna Hartnett. And if I have an evergreen, no. And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, the word's not there.
It's
you can enter it.
There.
Stop changing it live. You can enter it at critroll.com/tower!
They're editing the prompter.
I'm the worst person to do that too. Yes.
You need glasses.
I mean,
to wear my glasses.
Not your. Sure. Let's make this worse. That's 1,000 miles away. Okay, back to. What the fuck is up with that?
You got this, Travis.
So apparently Odahan has mind powers, and she wanted something with Imogen.
Yo, what the fuck is up with that?
I don't know.
She had seen you in the visions.
Yeah, she's in my dreams.
She thought you were, you weren't called like the one, but she was like, join us or those that are ready or something
I
like that.
I think it's just like, I know he's like hiding.
I feel like the little hard hat guys in Mega Man. I'm just like.
That's great. You don't have to like not make a face as we're like discussing it.
It's true. Poker face is great.
No, yeah, she's, I don't know. She just has an army in my dreams. And then like the only thing she said to me is, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all she said to me so far in my dream. Stop. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then she's terrible. She's a terrible,
Do you think, she knows your mom's?
What?
I do.
Yeah, I think she does. Like, does my mom, I haven't called my mom yet. I haven't sent her a message.
Oh!
Oh yeah, that's true.
I hadn't even thought about that.
I know.
Because your mom's got to be alive, right?
That's happening next week.
All right, yeah.
So. I mean, she's got to be alive. I thought she was dead. I was told she was dead. I didn't remember anything about her. Like, I thought she died when I was born, like in childbirth. Mm-hmm. And then I have a memory of her from when I was, like, how old was I in that memory?
You were close to maybe one, one and a half. Like, you were barely toppling.
So, like, a memory that I would never have remembered.
Mm-hmm.
So she was around, and then somebody said they saw her like within 12 years.
Do you think like you're...
That was almost so dangerous, you guys.
I know.
Dangerous like this. Oh, it didn't pop.
It's making me thirsty.
This one did, though.
I know, that was pretty great. I love the one around your neck is barely hanging on, too. So yoked. Yeah.
No one Some can contain a willing lad.
I don't remember what the question that you asked was.
What does she want with Imogen?
I don't know.
If your mom's still alive, why haven't you sent her a message?
I don't know.
Why are you this destroyer of worlds?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Also, where did you go? Did Bitch you go to the moon?
I don't know.
Did you?
Yeah, we reappeared.
Because yeah, everybody was gone.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was gone, and the buildings were demolished.
Yeah, you disappeared buildings.
Yeah, yes. So does Imogen have the ability to, like, in the moment of, like, chaos, she was still able to go, like, make my friends safe before I destroy everything? Or was it some other force that, like, caused everybody to disappear? Find safety within the mind? Because then we just did the thing with Ashton.
With Ashton!
We were in his brain, but we're still in the room.
Bro, that
so
shit
you
was
can
crazy.
Exist in two places at once.
That shit was crazy.
I was watching.
Being able to see him from the outside. Like
I was watching by myself. I just started getting like closer to the screen going, what the fuck? I didn't know what to do. It was so weird. What the fuck is up with that?
What is up with that?
What the fuck?
What's in the moon? The city?
What's the city in the moon? Net?
Is it a god? Is it a person?
We don't have any answers.
Is it a bad city? Is it an old city?
It's a space station. It's a forgotten god.
Was it a,
There's two
like,
unknown here. Gods. What?
I'm just going to give you like a little. Does it go around twice?
Answer bot.
Blood flow off.
I'm thirsty. I got it.
Oh, no.
Didn't work.
Fair enough.
Hi.
Thanks.
Do you want some water,
you're
Matt?
Just so, what?
No, I just had some.
I could. Here.
Yeah, I feel like you're cooking like a. What's that thing where you put the meat in the bag and then it goes.
I feel like, oh no, oh no, look at this. Please have a glow.
We're like a charm. Thank you, Marisha.
You're gonna drown your husband.
Best part is
robot costume.
I can't even wipe my chin. There it is. Thank you. Perfect. Happy Halloween.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Oh, I don't. By the way, we haven't explained what the fuck we're doing in these costumes.
What are we doing?
Do we have to we have to explain?
Oh yeah, it's Halloween.
Oh good.
If you didn't watch the last episode, we drew these costumes randomly out of a bucket. And now we're here in them.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we're doing. You're a trash bot?
I'm a trash robot.
I'm a disco dino.
I'm a laser werewolf.
I'm an art school demon.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay, nice. Now we can continue with what the fuck is up with that.
Okay. One more, what's up the fuck with, I mean, there's a couple more, but.
Yeah, let's go, yeah. Let's keep going. We got a lot to talk about, yo.
Thoughts when Fern, Orym, and Ladna all went down. In your brain, what were you thinking?
We're doomed. I thought that the entire party was going down.
And that was the closest we've gotten to like a TPK search.
Yeah, I thought that was it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. I told Matt this too. Like, I thought, I'm always looking at Matt for like fidget energy while it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that's like, oh God, guys, please find the thing that I'm trying to throw you. Or like, I don't know where this is going. But you were calm as shit.
I was nervous.
Like
as
a
shit.
Dairy cow. It did
nervous.
Not look that way. You were like,
stoic.
All according to plan. And that was wild, bro. That was wild. I was like, this is it. It was going down.
It was interesting because, like, Odohan is an important figure in the campaign, and you know, wanting to like set the mood for a legendary figure and how dangerous they are, both from a historical standpoint and the capabilities. You know, you can always talk about it so much, but when the opportunity arises for them to show that off, you know, you want this to be an interesting encounter. If it goes to combat, so be it. But putting signs in of how dangerous they are. Initially, when I built the encounter for this scenario, it was like, depending on what you guys do, there's an escape scenario. Like you said, a scatter or, you know, possibly go by unseen and it becomes a manhunt. Maybe most you get away and it becomes continuous manhunt or holding somebody as, you know, essentially as a hostage to try and draw the others back.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And then, I mean, you got her pretty low. Like I will say.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a very, very hard encounter, intentionally, but not impossible. And even just a few rounds that actually some people managed to focus for a bit, like, you took her down a pretty decent amount. And I had considered, like, at a certain percentage of hit point, she was going to leave.
That's true. And we all said, like, we're running.
Yeah, that was the problem.
But then
we all said we were running.
Get away.
Yeah, and then I think that was the problem, is that we said we were going to run, so then, like,
a couple people ran.
And then other people couldn't get away, and then we weren't able to hit her and save the people that were going down and take the...
We were very far apart from each other.
Yeah.
And
Ashton was, like, off the map.
He
fully got away.
And then that moment that she did her, like, 80-foot jump or whatever...
Oh, dude.
That was the moment I was like...
Oops.
Yeah, uh-oh. Because I don't think any of us were expecting her to be able to clear... that much. Right.
There are limitations to how many times she can do a lot of these things.
Sure.
She was pretty spent, pretty close to spent by the end of that encounter, too. But, like, the initiative rolls were real poor.
We got real fucked on initiative.
That's why I kept telling you to run, too, because I thought once she called you out, I was like, oh, she'll chase after Imogen, and then who cares what happens to her? We'll all be alive.
I mean, but yeah,
that didn't happen.
Thought that's what would
No,
happen.
She just stood and jacked everybody up. Like, it reminded me of White Dragon in the first campaign. It reminded me of Vorgal.
Oh, yeah.
When it landed and we were like 19 misses. And we were like, what? What do you mean?
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I think or Talison was like, running is an option. You know, it was like early days for us. Yeah. So we were like, how do we do that? How do we get out of here?
I know, and I think the reason we all said, let's run, is because I think we were traumatized from, like, Molly, right?
Sure.
And going like, this villain is way beyond our means. Like, the smart move here is to get away.
Yeah.
And there's no getting away.
There are options, you know, depending on what you guys want to do, but it's also hard to make those choices in the moment, too, when unexpected encounters happen. You know, a conversation was beginning, and then it turned into a battle.
Mm-hmm.
A battle where everyone was kind of divided at the get-go and had a hard time, you know, coming together. It kind of reminded me of our old home campaign where, like, the group immediately after those
ghouls.
They all separated as opposed to focusing as a group on individual creatures. They all kind of
famous story. Yeah,
focused on different creatures individually and just one by one got paralyzed and taken down to a near TPK. And it's it's a lesson in tactics and keeping those things in mind depending on what you're facing, but it also made for some great narrative moments. And it was one of those things, too, where, like, from my standpoint as Odahan, initially, she wasn't trying to murder everybody. She was trying to disable and figure out what the fuck was going on. You know, who are these people that attack the place? There's no good in killing anyone that has information if it's interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But then the minute that she recognized you, for whatever reason, her interest shifted and it became trying to push you to a place.
Right.
And at first it was like, these are hired mercenaries. And then seeing the reactions and the camaraderie, it was like, oh, this is a personal connection. I'm going to start taking them down and push and push and push. And, but she was pretty low. Like, you know, given all the circumstances, there were some good hits in there. And I was like sitting here waiting for what was going to happen. And then there's multiple different like clocks going in the battle to see what would kick first. And
man,
we got to that.
See, I love that though, because it after 7-8 years of playing now, we've never come close to a TPK. Like, we've never had that.
And I mean, not that close.
Not that.
You've ridden the edge of the death spiral a few times.
Yeah.
But this one was real dire.
At one point, there was almost four down, because I went down too and then came up a teeny bit. But, like, it's such a lauded thing in TTRPGs that I've never experienced. So I feel like we almost earned half a merit badge by getting that close to it.
Yeah,
because that's like
a good point.
I loved it as a player, because that feeling of hopelessness is so rare when you have a character sheet with all of those spells and all these features and all these options, and you've got, like, especially for us at a packed table, like 6-7
such
other
a big party.
People, like, you're like, we can handle anything. Let's just keep our wits about us, right? Even at the end of the second campaign. But
yeah,
I mean, there was a moment where I was like doing the math and the little bit of advanced chess, and you're like, oh shit,
this is bad.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know you've talked about that too. Like, we're a bigger party that have also been playing for a long time. So we got a decent amount, much to, you know, the debated. Sometimes we are smart.
Where's the debate? You guys are extremely smart. Like, you have trivialized counters that I thought would be much harder. That's the challenge on my side of things, too, is, like, it's a large group. It's a combat system in 5th edition D&D that begins to become unwieldy at a certain number of players. So there's a lot of customization that has to be involved, but without turning it into a slog. And wanting to raise the stakes. We've been playing for years together, and you guys have done such a good job in the past of decimating encounters that I thought would be much more interesting and dynamic, and then trying to find ways to challenge you and raise the stakes. And we all talked before this campaign started, you know, what do we want to do? What are our focuses in this? And it was like,
yeah, you said it was going to be more deadly.
So it's be more deadly, more dangerous, because we want that thrill. Otherwise, if the stakes aren't there, the you don't feel the threat is real, then in some cases, I know some people will talk like, well, we're supposed to feel like at least it's a safe space for friends. And I'm like, yeah, if that's what you all find your fun in, that's true. But for us, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that challenge, that danger, also makes the victories that much more worthwhile.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You know you've actually earned that victory. It's not just me handing it to you as we go. And that's just the way we like to play.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be said for us, but if anyone, you know, was confused, I think we were all okay with everything that went down at that table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still a safe space at the table with a bunch of friends sitting around playing. And while it was, of course, dramatic and shocking, it was still fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Like,
and
we're close
experiences
to the
that we haven't had before.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Which is awesome.
We're close to the characters because of time spent with them and the history and everything, but also, like, especially this campaign, I feel like we made some characters that are like, we're down to fuck around.
Yeah.
You know, like, we want to see the crazy shit.
Yeah.
That's what we're poking everything for, you know? We're not doing anything safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Like, the previous campaign, everybody was like a serious character. We had a couple, like, chaos beings. Like, this entire party is chaos beings with a couple of people that are like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally like a bunch of us running around booping the nose of the bull to see if it'll charge, and then the bull grows fucking 8 arms and a scorpion tail, and you're like, I'm sorry!
Yeah.
It's like, I regret it!
Chaos beings and Orym.
Yeah. The rest of you are the rest of the cast of Arrested Development around Orym.
Yeah.
Have we talked how Orym has to have, like, he has some evil backstory?
Something, right?
He's
he can't just be this wholesome.
Right,
he's it got can't like be, a... It can't be this chill.
He's got some sort of weird vice or... Some sort of deep, dark secret.
Insight check. He's a homicidal maniac.
All right, I'm going to whisper it.
He is out. He's
not a mistake.
He's recouping a bounty on the Voice of the Tempest.
Sure.
Mark my words.
I can't scratch my cheek.
I got the here. I got some claws. Here you go.
Thanks. If you don't mind, it's great. I hate it.
I hate it. You put it in his mouth.
Everything smells like balloons now. I hate it.
Balloon fingers, Willingham. That's what they call me.
Next question.
Okay.
What the fuck is up with what?
Well, there was really only one, well, not one, but an enormous part after the three deaths rolled down into just one, which was Laudna's death.
Oops, dead Laudna.
What the fuck is up with that? Oops, dead Laudna's.
No Laudna's.
Oops, no Laudna's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, okay. So sitting next to you, I think we all thought we were like, oh, there's a stair step of things that will happen, right? A couple of if-thens before we know that we're really fucked. But at least we'll kick it off with a chance to roll a 10 or higher where it's not you dying like right out of
instant,
the gate.
Instant. Fucked one. By the rudest die.
A one. The fucking rudest die.
That fucked me on the willpower save and then you on the death save.
Yes. Fuck that rudest die.
That was unbelievable. I looked over and I saw it. I leaned forward and then I looked back at you and I was like, that's a seven, right? That's not a one.
Yep.
We just stared at each other for a second. I was like,
even if it was a
seven,
still dead. Well, and that's the crazy thing with Laudna, why, like, in the past when I've gone down and if, like, multiple one of us have gone down, I'm like, take care of the other people first. Because I technically have plenty of things in my toolbox to help get me back up.
Yeah.
Which you'd already used.
You have a lot of resistance to going unconscious, and then you have a benefit to get back up.
I have Strength of the Grave, and then, fuck, what's the other one?
Creepy as shit.
Well, there's the
already dead.
You have the ability where you gain a hit point if
on a 16,
you, on a 16 or higher on a death save. So you have a 25% chance to get back up on a death save.
Damn.
Damn,
you were
so stacked. That could have been way better.
So I realistically could have, but she hit me when I was down, so that was two death saves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rolled the one on the last one. So even if I rolled above a 10, the next time, as long as I kept rolling above 10s, I could have theoretically
stabilized
and bopped back up, but then...
Yeah.
And can I applaud you again for the realism for that? Because again, over the past 7 years, there have been times where like somebody drops... And you can, like, see maybe the logic of the creature being like, oh, that one's down. I'm going to focus on the rest of its friends rather than, like, stomping on it and making sure it's extinguished. That was exactly what she was doing because she was trying to get to her.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Well, I feel like she started by just, like, knocking us unconscious. But then when we kept getting back up.
Yeah. Once you prove that you were becoming a nuisance and there was an emotional connection between Imogen and the other people in the group, her priorities changed.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was. And for the record, Sam rolling on the Revivify die, like the baseline DC getting like.
Oh yeah,
because he would have been bad. One lower, right? Then
one
nobody.
Lower, none of them would have got up.
Yeah.
And you would now be working to try and resurrect three people.
Yeah. We went from like, oh, we've got maybe two revivifies if it works. Laudna might be able to roll out of it, so everybody will be fine. And you died on your first roll, so somebody was staying down.
Yes.
And then at seven, we were like, holy shit, we almost lost half the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only laugh because it's funny.
Well, I mean, even in that death spiral situation, like to your point, what gets so tricky about it is instead of attacking, you have to make that choice to heal instead of attack.
Yeah.
But then
you heal one and you hit a hit again and you're instantly down.
And then it doesn't matter.
And
I will say a little peek behind the curtain too. Like as a DM for a campaign, when you're prepping combat and encounters that you are intending to be dangerous like this, it behooves you to know and recall what your players have at their disposal. And so you guys have a bunch of healers and people with the capability of getting other people up. You have two people with Revivify pretty much prepared almost all the time.
That's
like,
true.
I have to push a little more lethal. Otherwise, that danger isn't there. And so for this type of encounter, you know, as keeping in mind that, knowing like you have some resources, I think you have some gems and diamonds, as long as they have the spell slots available, you know, if they're smart about it and, you know, keep those resources at bay, I can really lean into the threat of this encounter. And so... I don't feel bad. I think that was awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, it was great.
Cool. What was wild, too, was Because and you never really know like how emotional it's gonna like hit you when you're like knowing your character is going to die, but kind of that, I don't know, that moment that Ashley flipped the coin, the Changebringer coin, which is also wild.
That was awesome.
And yeah. And like in like, I don't know, and I guess everyone gets fatalistic and you just assume the worst, but in between the two games, the whole time I was like, I don't have a good feeling about this. I just don't feel like that's, I don't think I'm gonna make it out of this. So I was already kind of rocking with that disposition. And then I leaned over and I whispered to you at one point and I was like, they should really res Aurum. Like if they're gonna res anybody.
You did, yeah.
Because, and I don't know, Laudna shit.
Nope.
Like how she's gonna get
but
back
you're not
up,
typical.
Or yeah, like
but
you're
I'm
not typical,
right? No. Whereas like with Aurum, I'm like I don't.
Death is but a doorway.
I don't know.
Once already, hopefully
yes.
Again.
But I was when Ashley was like, "Sorry, Laudna, like you'll find your way back to us again."
Oh, brutal delivery.
Oh,
so good too, because you start with the name and then the rug pull.
And then
Laudna. She did it. She did.
Don't find our way back to us.
As painfully as possible. I was the exact opposite. I was like. I had come to terms almost with Fern and Aurum, but I was like, Laudna's fine.
She'll be fine.
She'll be fine. Marisha's lucky. She'll roll high. She'll be great. And like had not thought about it at all. And then like, so when it happened, it was like,
what?
God.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. And I realistically should have gotten back. No, not realistically, but I was a little bit more able to.
You had a better chance than most.
Better chance than most. But I did have this wave of almost, like, relief and relaxation after Ashley was like, you're staying down. And I was just like, yes, this was meant to be.
I accept
this. This is fine. But it was kind of crazy. And I was texting Danny back and forth, like, off to the side, because, like, watching everyone else be so busted up and emotional, that was kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You get to watch your own funeral.
It was that. I was 100%. Like, this feels like watching your own funeral.
Oh, my God.
And it was fucking wild. Like.
Well, I also thought, like, I thought there would be some, like, Delilah shit, right? And, I mean, there was
I really thought that, like. Like, that was going to be the play.
Yeah.
Like, we were texting. I thought
we
that rock,
rock.
I think she's going to, like, she's going to latch onto that. We're going to figure this out. And then, like, Delilah's like, no.
Well, it wasn't that. Remember,
just
like,
kidding.
She was like, do whatever you need to or whatever it takes. But then also, when the repose, when Sam did the repose.
What was that?
She was like, or you said, you notice that something has been halted. Or something has been stopped.
God, what was the thing that's got stopped?
And it didn't feel like it was just the natural decay of an already kind of dead woman.
No, there's something else going on.
Dude, Delilah was doing the old body transfer. She was doing the old body snatcher.
I don't even know. I don't know.
You don't know.
Is it?
Oh
is that
God.
Still? Because the thing he did only lasts like 10
days
or whatever.
It extends the duration of any like resurrection spells and staves off like undead transformations and keeps the body like. Held together and not decomposing. And your conversations with Delilah when you spoke to her, definitely you weren't expecting an individual, at least of her repute, to be seeming so powerless.
Yeah.
In this circumstance.
No, I was not.
That's as much as I'll say.
Damn.
And I guess we'll see what the fuck happens when you drag her body back to Whitestone.
Uh-huh.
Holy
I mean, that
shit.
Was like,
God.
We had, I think we were, as we were discussing, like, what are the plans for saving Laudna? Delilah was pretty fucking high up there, and then it was like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, it's cool. We know Esteros. We know all these people. They'll know somebody. It's like, it's pretty rare. It's very, I don't have magic. Here's the thing.
Well, think about it. Like in a logistical standpoint, if resurrection magic was readily available,
totally.
death would have no purpose in society.
Totally. 100%.
And so, you know, aside from heroic characters that utilize it and high-ranking figures, even the people that can resurrect are likely paid or relegated to keep it within certain social circles or within certain noble circles or very rare circumstances.
Power structures.
Yeah.
I had that realization and just like, how fucked must this be for Aurum in this moment? Because
yes,
God, contacting Keyleth, to bring Laudna back,
but not
when
his husband
died next to Keyleth. Like,
I didn't want to ask, and I was glad that he talked about it in the last session because I was like, did you not ask about your husband and your father?
He had to have.
But he said like the wounds or something about it didn't work. I'm sure he had to do
something about that assassination attempt that those that were killed were unable to be brought back.
But that was Odahan and her shadow.
Exactly.
People,
well, he didn't see Odahan. He just saw the shadow.
He just saw the
shadow. Shadow assassin.
Correct.
Yeah, so something
this
like that.
This is a no.
This is a no?
No.
Did I break it?
You're too big for your costume, boy.
I got it. No, it's really hard to snap.
I got it. I broke it.
Cut back on the awesomeness.
Nope. Well, hold on.
Yeah, so now.
Nope.
We're going with the voice of the Tempest.
Holy shit.
Keyleth of the Arashari.
I'm just like, I just keep imagining like Vox Machina, like, you know, burying Delilah, putting her in an iron box, throwing that into the deep ocean only for Bell's Hells to be like,
fuck your
to be like,
box.
Hey, what's this? What if we open this up?
Yeah, but also we really want to open it up, you know? Yes. Like, let's definitely bring her back, because she knows shit.
Yeah.
This isn't
complicated. How many people from Vox Machina are we going to meet?
I don't know.
Oh, it's so exciting.
It's funny, when you guys created your characters for this campaign, like one with a link to Whitestone and one with Orm, a pretty direct link to Keyleth, I was like, there's probably like a fair chance at some point in the campaign they might cross over with Keyleth at one point. I'm a little nervous and hoping to try and like, you know.
Steer away from that.
Well, to pay homage to it and also not turn it into an Essex scenario where it's Keyleth is our taxi.
Yeah.
And to that point, which I don't want to say too much, but like, you know, everyone's busy. There's all sorts of shit going on in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But especially with the coming Apogee Solstice, like.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she did sound pretty distracted.
There's a lot of things going on in the world and leading up to that. But I wasn't expecting Keyleth's arrival to be as a means of getting a character to Whitestone. So now I'm... Yeah, I'm getting ready to figure out what that's going to look like. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we can't.
I'm excited.
I mean, we can't stay because we got shit to do. But also, who all is there? Lord and Lady Darolo.
Yeah.
Is Pike there?
Is Pike the one that can do a resurrection?
Well, Pike and Scanlanar are not necessarily.
They're not together, but Pike settled in Whitestone.
Oh, okay. Well, Jesus. And then there's.
Grog!
The Grand Poobah.
Trinkets in Whitestone?
Maybe. I mean, he could be out gallivanting. You know, spreading knowledge and joy.
Yeah. Going to all the children's hospitals. And just making everybody
living his best dad bod.
Yeah.
Hold your sail. Ramifications.
I do want to see you just like, just talk to yourself as all of us.
As all of your old characters. Yeah, don't think that hasn't been keeping me up at night.
Can we just get like a giant Costco order of popcorn for next week we can just all be... We'll make a list.
Oh, watch boy. Matt Mercer's Vox Machina, the one-man play.
God damn it.
It's
like we're all at Taste of Tal'Dorei.
Yeah.
Like ludicrous fishbowl drinks during the game.
At the very least, I've been excited at the prospect of any crossovers with Vox Machina, partially because I've never been able to have campaigns concurrent in the same world, and all the time I've been playing in D&D because groups just dissipate.
Yeah.
But the groups I've been with have always talked about the cool idea of finishing a campaign, retiring that character, and then eventually possibly meeting them later on in future games. And it's always been something in the back of my head. And so now that we've been able to spend so much time in Exandria, this is the first time that we really have had a chance for the players to bump into an old PC down the line. And it's, I don't know, it's really cool. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
It was strangely emotional.
It was emotional.
Like, it's always fun to watch you jump into a character, though, but like, it was a really good Keyleth, and it
was
felt
like the
so...
instant visual of like seeing her come out. It was like, yeah.
It was good. It was almost like you know the person that plays that character intimately or something.
Weird. That's weird.
Okay, so I've got one more. What the fuck is up with that topic?
What you got?
What is your favorite scary movie?
Ooh, good question.
Favorite scary movie.
Oh, I have a couple, but we have to just name one. I really like The Descent.
That's a good choice.
That's good.
The original British one with the proper
that's
ending?
That's definitely a fave proper ending.
Yeah. Okay.
The claustrophobia of it.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot in my heart for the original Amityville Horror. Because it was one of my mom's favorites, and we watched it every year. It's not the most scary, but...
Favorite scary movie doesn't mean the scariest movie.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It's pretty great. What about you?
I'm tempted to say Hereditary, just because it's one of the more recent horror films that really got to me and is like really well shot and put together, but I grew up and to this day still love the original Poltergeist.
I had a feeling you were going to say Poltergeist.
That's the original Poltergeist.
It's real, real good.
So good.
All the practical effects still hold up pretty well compared to other movies of that time.
For
and
sure.
Yeah, I was going to say I was fascinated by The Exorcist only because I had to watch it in like increments. Like I couldn't do it. Same for John Carpenter's The Thing, the original.
Oh, yeah. That was a good choice.
I tried to watch it with my dad and ran out of there like two or three.
The Thing is scary.
You ran out of Neverending Story.
I know! Okay, listen. The only movies I ever ran out of in a theater were Neverending Story and Jurassic Park, which I was way too old for. Yes. Like I was like 12 or 13. And I totally bitched out on John Carpenter's The Thing. When those legs came out of the dog in the kennel, I had a problem.
It's a scary movie.
This is another question. What are the movies that you ran out of the theater for?
Those are mine.
Those are yours?
I never run out of a theater.
Well, fine.
Really?
But I did. So my grandma made me watch Poltergeist when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And awesome. She was like
six?
Sitting. I was sitting in her lap and she's like, we have to watch this, you know?
I just saw your grandma.
Yeah, exactly. I was terrified and ended up kicking and screaming until she like released me from her lap and ran into the kitchen. And
she like held you hostage?
My grandma was so much fun. Yeah. She was awesome.
Did you come back in and finish the movie?
I think I watched like from the doorway for a bit. So I have like... Wow. Flashes of the movie.
See, I tried to come back in a moment later down the movie in The Thing, and then they're like doing the defibrillator on the guy, and they're like, clear, and his arms go through the dude's chest, and then the teeth cut off the guy's arms. And I was like, Dad!
How old were you when you watched The Thing?
A little younger, like 10 or 11, I think.
That's pretty young for The Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big bitch.
That's fine.
You're not.
And The Ring is just no good. No ring. Okay, enough of this scary movie. Oh, shit. Yeah, yours.
I ain't run out of any movies.
Okay, never mind.
You haven't run out of any? Never?
No! I'm a tough-ass bitch.
You?
The original Ghostbusters when I was very young.
Aww.
At the moment where I was ready?
You saw it in
ready?
The theater?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was very young for that.
Yes, you were.
It might have been like a back to theater or something like that. Cause I remember the memory, but it was the ready, get her and the. Rah! I was nope. I'm done. I'm out.
No.
And the other one was Beetlejuice in the theater. The opening scene when they're trying to scare the family, but they don't see them, and Gina Davis pulls her face off in the middle of the closet.
Yeah.
Nope. Out of the theater.
That is scary.
Gone.
Were you with friends or parents?
Parents.
Right. Did they come with you or leave you in the lobby next
session? No, they came with me.
Oh,
I eventually got back into the theater and watched the rest of the movie both times, but like those were the times that I ran out like screaming.
My friend at Jurassic Park left me next to the concession stand, and the guy was like,
"He abandoned you?
Did you leave the movie?" And I was like, "Yes." And he goes, "Are you going back in?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Do you want some Reese's Pieces?" I was like, "Yes."
Yes.
We hung out to the end of that movie.
That's the cutest thing. I love
Yes.
That's so cute. Yeah, my mom was born on Halloween, so Halloween was always like a huge to-do, even since I was a kid. So all sorts of those, all scary movies, she started me young. She'd be like, you're fine.
Plus she sees
get
ghosts.
Get you in on this. Yeah, 13 Ghosts style. Puts on the glasses.
All right, it's time for a poll from the Tower of Inquiry. Soggy gloves. One of us pulls a block from the tower, reads the number, and Danny tells us the corresponding question and who asked it. And if the Tower of Inquiry falls, consequences will befall or befail for the one who ruins it. I need glasses. Rotted, unspeakable consequences.
Oh, boy.
Rotted? Yeah. And so with that in mind, I choose Laura.
Yes.
Why don't you pull a block?
I love
hiding
pulling.
Hiding that box over here.
Yeah.
You're such a cute robot.
You Thanks. Really are. So,
appreciate
you're
it.
You're so adorable.
This is a new tower, so you really can't screw this up, right?
Lettuce.
Plus, you're good at this stuff.
Oh, shit.
The doubt's creeping in.
Yeah.
I got no doubts.
Oh, that was awesome.
Did you see the slip?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The face.
I have too much Jenga comp. I mean, Tower of Inquiry uh-huh. confidence.
You mean Jenga?
Chenga.
Chenga. Yeah.
Oh, God.
One hand, never touch it with two.
Uh-huh.
Don't you forget the rules, ever.
That
one is easy to get back.
Yeah.
This one
I need to say the number. It's number eight.
Number eight.
This is already so gravity challenge.
Number eight.
Whoever's up, I challenge them to do that one.
What?
Are we all taking turns on her, or is it just one person?
I don't know.
Right now, it's just one, because I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
You look cute as a
You look so
yeah,
cute.
You do.
Thanks. I also picked last week. I don't know where the camera is. I'm very good at my job. Where is it? I don't know. What would be your character's minor day-to-day superpower? Examples, cutting onions without crying, always waking up on time without an alarm. Who can do that? Never gets lost in cities. And this is from Duct Tape Wolf on Twitter.
Duct Tape Wolf.
Woo. Minor.
Day-to-day superpower. That's pretty good.
That is a good one.
Us or our character?
Our character?
I think it was our character.
Okay, our character.
Oh, no.
Imogen can... she never has to change a light bulb. She can just bring him back.
That's good.
Dang.
It's really helpful when light bulbs start.
Chetney's fingernails would be made out of adamantine, so he could not, he wouldn't need instruments. He would just claw and nail pick at wood.
Edward Scissorhands his way through it.
Just his fingers.
That's pretty good.
And then cut people.
I feel like,
I like that your day-to-day, easy, daily superpower is to cut people.
It's not like Baraka from Mortal Kombat, it's just fingernails.
Okay.
It's more Rey from Fist of North Star. I'm a weeb. Continue.
Weeb robot.
Weeb bot.
Weeb bot, that's me.
Oh.
Baka Koi-chan. Go.
Help me.
I feel like
that's it.
Laudanus would be like, as she walks by flower beds, flowers just wilt and die or something sad. That's
atmospheric.
Sad?
I don't know. It's kind of cool. She hates flowers.
It's like an ability, but that's rough.
What's? I can't think of any happy superpowers
for Laudanus.
For Laudanus,
she never has to use a ladder.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Spider climb.
Somebody who can't reach like tall things ever.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
That's pretty good. Cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. She could play like lots of contact sports and then just pop all of her joints back into place.
That's true.
Yep.
She'd be a good crash test dummy.
Oh, that's, yeah. Whoa. She makes her money doing crash test dummy and that then she can then audibly like, you know, give feedback.
Give feedback.
Every time results are sent to the client, they're like, oh my God.
Yep.
We gotta fix this. At least it was safe. Look at her.
That's awesome.
Really
what NPC
need to fix those.
Estros. Estros would want the day-to-day power to always bake the perfect cookies.
Mm.
Not a little too hard. Soft, but not too soft, where they fall apart when you pick them up. Like that perfect consistency that's hard to maintain, especially with large batches. That'd be
soft
what you
want. Soft in the middle, but like crispy on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Can
basically like
a milk dip too.
Mm-hmm.
Any of Quianne's cookies.
Yes, her cooking is unfortunately divine because I want to eat it all the time.
It's really good.
Yeah. Next level
really
cookies.
Good.
Next
Q,
level
if you could
sourdough.
Send some bread.
Yeah, Q, if you ever Want to just make some bread.
Yeah.
For us.
Great.
Set it
some
up.
Some more bread, rather, because
glad you're at the Pantheon.
Hell yeah.
Travis, why don't you pull with your gloves?
Thank you, Duct Tape Wolf. Let's pull another. Who should go up? And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. I do the choosing.
You do.
Over here.
And, my hat won't stay on.
And because you aimed your Dilophosaurus spit at me, you go.
Oh, no. And your little gloves
Fine.
Are going to get in the
I'm
way.
Saving Matt for last because
Fine.
It just seems impossible.
I'm here for hard oh, no. mode.
Oh, no.
I'm here for it.
Maybe.
Plus, I already visited the tower. I went first.
You've got a feather stuck to your inner thigh.
Oh, shit.
Your head almost knocked over the tower.
It somehow went up my shorts. What is happening here?
Pate okay. was shedding on you, I think.
Yeah, it's true. Well, this one was real easy. Okay, well, oh, God.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, you got dino yeah, go, hands go in the way. It.
Hey!
Oh, she's using
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was the easy one.
That was awesome!
Noise!
That was cool.
Slick.
Disco!
Too careful.
It falls.
What's the number?
Oh. 14.
14!
I saw it wibble.
If you would have knocked it over on the disco, I would have laughed my ass off.
Oh, boy. Okay.
If your character teamed up with an existing character in TV or film, who would best complement your character as a partner? From Aaron Young.
Good question. If your character teamed up with any character in media or from
an Alexandria? Existing character in TV or film.
Oh.
Damn.
Best
Man,
compliment.
Nah. That's a really hard question.
That is a hard one. I'm thinking.
I kind of want to join up with Bilbo Baggins.
Oh my god.
Oh hell yeah.
Cuz he'd be like all idealistic and, you know, full of virtue, and then Chetney would just take the fucking ring.
Maybe like Danny, you can tell me if this makes sense, like John Constantine.
Hot.
so hot.
Sorry.
Good pairing.
I'm still me.
I'm still me.
If it was like a road trip scenario, I'd say Elvira and
Elvira.
That would be dope. Yeah. Elvira and Lana.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Both
you
scary
and Constantine
fun.
Share a birthday.
Very. You and Constantine?
You and Constantine.
Me and Constantine
share a birthday.
Mm-hmm. May 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Hey.
Could join up with like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and be like, let's talk about where your loyalties lie.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're not tired of his shit, too.
Yes, help them reunite.
Yeah. Bring him down from the inside.
Yes. What about you, Laura?
Jem.
Oh my brain God, instantly cute. Went to Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, talking like back and forth nonstop.
Scarlet Witch is also
yeah.
an obvious
oh,
one.
Yeah.
I like Jim. Jim is fun.
Jim is fun.
Yeah, that's less on
truly,
your nose.
Truly,
yeah.
truly.
Good answer.
Like
good answer.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Aaron Young. And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critworld.com/.
Oh, that's stinky.
/tower. It's, no, it's not.
Yes, it is. I was going to put it on, but it smells.
No, it smells more like balloons than like a, you know, salad bar at Olive Garden. And if you, I already said that.
For the third time.
Listen. I thank Darren Young. The screen's moving around a lot. And now, and with that, let's slide into the deep dive.
Nope.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Ah!
Yeah. 90s mermaid! You got some tubular questions for us to answer?
I always have tubular questions for y'all to answer.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Hell yeah.
I
love your 90s blossom hat.
Thank you.
It's so great.
Wait. Probably should have done the robot last.
No, it's fine.
Got nope. It. Yep.
There, I got my hand.
Oh, yeah, nice.
There we
Yay.
Go.
Hey. You can do it.
You can do it.
I love my chipmunk. It's so sharp. Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
So you know, we're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankers.
Breaking the costume.
And since I'm the tavern keeper, I will be kicking this off. Robot, since you got your hands now, why don't you go first?
Okay. I'm a robot.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh my god.
Hold on.
You got it.
What has it been like to introduce elements from Campaign 2, such as the Cerberus Assembly, Ludinus, and Dunamis? Been cool. I've been sitting on this shit for a long time. I've been thinking about these threads since the beginning of Campaign 2, and I'm excited we're getting to them now. I have a lot of ideas that have been floating in my head since Campaign 1 that are now starting to come together.
Really? Wow.
I've been excited for Campaign 3 for a while.
You can keep it secret, man.
Yeah. Well, it's just fun little thread drops like that make it fun because it shows that, one, your actions from previous campaigns have effects in future campaigns and the way that the world develops of Exandria. And I just find it a fun time. So, yeah.
Yay.
Who's next?
Clockwise.
Clockwise? Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. Nope. That's prohibitive.
Prohibitive?
Marisha, what is it like to see Keyleth come back, but not be there at the table? Like,
Turn the blade!
Yes! Yeah,
like being in a fucking fugue state. That's what it felt like. I was like, what is happening? I literally texted the group. I was like, this is really fucking weird.
100%.
It was very bizarre, but you did a good job being Kiki.
Thank you.
You have her weird, like, staccato. She's still nervous sometimes.
Yeah, she's much better than she used to be. She has 30 years of wisdom since we last really saw her in Campaign 1, but it doesn't make her stop being her. She's just a far more experienced, wiser, and politically incorporated figure into the world of Exandria, who still carries her personality.
Her personality, yeah. It was cute. Yay. It's good.
Thank you.
Now do Vex!
Oh.
Shut down. All right, I got mine. Travis! This is for me. Chetney had some interesting memories come back during the whiteout. Can you tell us anything about the wayward romances or the love life that Chetney recalled?
Ooh.
Why, yes. Yes, I can. Both of those names did not ring a bell. But, you know, when you've been crushing, like the big pun, for 400 years, you can't really just remember two names.
Mm.
So,
what
you know.
What were the names again?
I don't know. I wrote them down.
Deanna and Frenella or something? Or it was an F
Oh,
name.
Those two. No, I got nothing.
I wasn't expecting you to remember.
Nope. I got nothing. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll go and meditate on it or recall some of my greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
Imogen hasn't done a deep dive into Chetney's brain yet, right?
Nope.
You don't want to go in
obviously,
there.
Obviously, oh, no, that's...
It's like a greatest hits album that you can't like unsubscribe from. It's like Time Life doesn't even want that.
She hasn't done a deep dive into anybody really except for Ashton.
Ashton.
People have to.
I mean, like, that in the party, well. In the party.
Holy fuck.
Ashton's the only one who really gave consent for it. Ashton and...
Yeah.
I think Fresh Cut Grass maybe as well.
Yes, and Fresh Cut Grass. Yeah, she's not, unless it's somebody that... Nobody that she's a friend with, she would just do that too willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Until she goes evil and dark.
Until she just does, yeah.
Nice. You're up.
I already pulled it.
Oh, you did?
I could pretend.
You can't pre-screen your mug question.
I pulled it and I didn't put it back. I kept it in my hand.
I believe you.
Laura. Imogen destroyed the purple crystal Fern gave Laudna, but kept her own, even attempting to use it to save Laudna.
Yeah.
What are her thoughts on this crystal? And how is she feeling towards it now? I struggled with it because, like, part of me in that moment wanted to, like, keep it on Laudna. And I think if Ashton hadn't been like, I'm moving the body, I probably would have kept it on her. But then it was like, this is weird, it's gonna fall. I don't know how this is gonna work. Is it in the hole? Like, this is impaled in.
Oh,
terrible.
Shit. Stuff it in there.
Dodging the wound.
Yep.
So yeah, and then I was like, I'm gonna leave it underneath Joe's, and then I didn't. And then I was like, I'm gonna throw it off the airship, and then I didn't. And I don't know, like, why I keep holding on to it.
You don't know why?
I mean, she doesn't want to let it go. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I feel like that first one, like, kind of, like, started to make her feel a little, like, have, like, more erratic thoughts. Or,
insane in the membrane.
Yeah, it made her feel, like, more suddenly powerful, but... And now, based on everything else that's happened, I feel like that is such a small, like, tickle compared to everything else.
Right.
That who knows, maybe it's adding to it, but I don't think she's registering it that way.
Well, she don't throw away magic stuff.
No. Especially when you know that Delilah wants it so much.
Yes.
In these moments. Yeah.
Good question.
Good question.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's you again.
You can do it. You can do it, Trobot.
Trash robot.
I got it.
Gee, Trobot.
Hold on. Yeah, okay. I did it. Matt, you've mentioned that you have conversations with players after character death to see what they want. What were those conversations like with Liam, Ashley, and Marisha? Was it a different experience than when Molly died? It was the same conversation, generally. In my games... I mean, you know, it changes from table to table what players want, but, you know, I'm being serious.
No, the little movements are fucking hilarious.
I know. But no, like, the purpose of my game, at the very least, and most games out there, I believe, are for the players to enjoy the game and have the most fun. If a player's character dies prematurely, I don't want to just tell them, sorry, they're gone, regardless of what you want. I want to open the opportunities for the different types of stories that can progress from there and be like, if you really want to continue to pursue this character, I can find narrative reasons and additional adventures and quests and stories and unique memories surrounded the recovery of this missed figure, you know? See if that is a possibility down the road. Or you could take this as an opportunity to let that rest for a bit and try out a new character and a new story. Or create a new character that continues your original character story in some way. Maybe they're related to them or had a history with them. And so then story keeps going, but you get to experience a new character. These are all different, unique, fun things that players in the past have done in games that I've run and games that I've played in. And so I ask those questions every time. With Taliesin, I asked him that question. He said, no, Molly's not coming back.
Dang.
He's like, he intentionally made Molly as a character that if he died, he's gone. And so I asked him that, and he's like, no, I'm gonna start working on my next character. And that's where Caduceus came from. Another great example of character death being a very, you know, harrowing but important shift in story tone and character bonding and, you know, intense buy-in to a narrative. And then out of that, a great character like Caduceus that no one really realized how badly the Mighty Nein needed him until he was there for a time, showed up. And so you kind of, sometimes that embracing that loss can lead to incredible opportunities down the road that you wouldn't see otherwise. But to that same point, I asked each of them, what do you want to do? And they all began to, think of secondary characters, I think, except for you.
Well,
no, you began to think of some a little bit. You've been contemplating.
I've got ideas, but also, I'm also not necessarily interested in Laudna coming back and just being A-okay and being the same. Like, for me, it's a little bit of, like, this weird Pandora's box of... And anyway, I guess we actually need to talk about it. We haven't talked, because I didn't know what the group was going to do.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I still don't know what's going to go on.
No, there's still...
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Yeah, we can talk more, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Primarily, my question to you was, you know, do you want to continue to pursue Laudna's story as Laudna? You know, is that the most fun path for you? And you said yes. And I was like, okay, well, then we will incorporate a path to perhaps doing that.
Yeah. But I want to see where it goes, but it doesn't have to mean it's going to be the same.
It's not going to be easy, and then everything has consequences, and you get to choose, and we both get to discuss where that leads depending on the choices the rest of the players make on that path, which excites me. So. That, and then Liam and Ashley made secondary characters, but they were kind of still deciding. and wait and see what
they
happened.
Were, they were down the road a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, Liam sent me a whole email with his write-up of his secondary character. Like, he was like, he's like, well, we'll see how it goes.
Liam's always the most prepared of all of us when it comes to that.
He chose magical items and everything. I was like, all right, man.
Damn, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Come on now.
He still got him on deck in case something happens to Worm again down the road.
Well, we'll take care of
Worm. I went the extreme opposite. Like, Vinny and the production team were like, oh, I need your description. We're going to get Art cooking immediately. And I was like, no.
I refuse.
Yeah, basically. And they're like, but what? We need you to be on standby. And I was like, I'll sit out as long as I need to. No. And they were like, but we should get it. No. That's basically how it went.
I said no.
That checks out. All right, your turn.
I almost took a drink.
Marisha.
No.
Do you have thoughts? Do you have thoughts on what you might roll for another character?
No.
Or are you planning to see what happens over the next few episodes first? No.
Pick a new one.
No, okay.
Sorry, Dave.
Marisha. What are your thoughts on Laudna returning to Whitestone to potentially be resurrected once more? Y'all, that shit's fucked up.
Come on.
That shit's gonna be fucked up, and I can't wait to see how it goes.
Oh, God.
We did try every other solution.
Drama to wake up there again.
Yes.
No, it's gonna be fine.
We tried a handful of solutions.
And I am considering all of that. Like, what the it's a lot of layers. It's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot of layers.
So, and I still don't know. I'm kind of just waiting in the wings because I don't know what y'all are gonna do. So.
Yeah.
Or if we're or how gonna succeed at what we
or
do.
Or if we're gonna succeed or how it's gonna go. And like, I also keep thinking of the fact that like, what's gone on with the ziggurat in the past 30, 40 years?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all good. Plus there's only an Apogee Solstice coming, so I'm sure it's fine. Okay. Here, hold my hand while I draw.
Yeah.
Ew!
Oh, that's awful! That's awful!
John Carpenter's the thing!
I thought you were being sweet.
No. Laser Werewolf doesn't want sweet. Laser Werewolf wants to get funky. Chetney is a bit of a detective sniffing out used double cross and guessing that Ira's arcade telescope was originally for the Unseelie. Yeah, well, respect. Is Chetney amateur sleuth an aspect you intended to explore for him, or has this come about from roleplay? Guys, I played an idiot for my first character. And I think just over time, like, A, there are some, you guys are really good at playing this game, so I've just learned from watching people do their thing, but also after 7 years, there are like little things that just kind of pop up. The you thing was literally me watching our friend Patrick Fugit was in a show called Treadstone on USA. And when they would activate like one of the sleeper cells, they would send the cell phone like a picture with a symbol on it. And they'd go like, and then go after the target. And I was like on the treadmill like watching it. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh my God.
She's going to kill her family. Oh. So that's how
yeah, because she had
happened.
The locket with the picture.
Yeah, total.
Wow,
total
I didn't know that's how you connect. I didn't know that was how you.
Yeah, I was doing something else and it just happened and I was like, oh God. And then the telescope thing, I don't know. It just, Fern is, I don't trust Fern as far as I could throw her, which is not very far, even though Chetney's swole for an old dude.
Sure.
He's pretty strong.
Old man strength.
Yeah.
Old man strength, yeah. But it just felt like the Nightmare King was just waiting to do something shitty. I just wish we had taken the little green lens and, like, looked at him before we gave it to him.
I can't believe Ashton broke the
fucking
lens immediately.
Oh well, I love how right afterwards he was like, if it's a magical item, you can't break it. It was just, psh! Dawson's like, oh, fuck.
Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd look at him, expend it. We'd have to spend another day. We could like poke him with stuff.
But the funniest thing, this little trinket that was written into Fern's backstory when Ashley handed it into Abria back in EXU.
Oh, yeah.
This little thing, this little trinket, this little green thing that she's been carrying, and finally revealed, and immediately shattered. I was like,
fuck your backstory.
Yep, fuck your backstory. It's perfect. Ugh. It's perfect.
Yeah, we could have used it so many wonderful ways.
Yeah, I feel like a 400-year-old gnome has a little bit of a insight when it comes to those things, so maybe we'll just call it that.
You also have hilarious.
Wisdom of the ages.
You have high wisdom, don't you?
No.
Oh, really?
No,
high intelligence.
High intelligence.
Well, mediocre intelligence, but the highest in the group.
I'm the smartest fucking person in the group.
Wait, what's your intellect?
My intellect?
Your intellect?
Your intellect?
What's our intellect?
I think it's a plus two.
That's like a 14
or 14. 14. Oh, yeah, and Aurum is 13. So, before you joined Aurum.
Bow down, bitches. We're going to be fine.
Well, you're also, you are a good...
God, we're idiots.
Strategist. Strategist?
Yeah, sometimes.
Strategist.
Sometimes.
So it is fun to watch you play a character that is
also Calamity wrecked
off.
Me in a beautiful way. Because y'all had schemes and secret meetings and shit, and I was trying to figure stuff out, and it was... I left a mark.
Yeah.
You're up.
That was fun. Imogen, Laura. How does Imogen feel about Ashton calling her a superhero versus Chetney wondering if she is someone to be afraid of?
Oh, yeah.
She definitely does not feel like a superhero. I think she's leaning more towards the Chetney vibe.
Oh.
There's a lot of guilt there.
Why?
Why? Fuck. Yeah.
Aww.
Well, you know, this crazy powerful thing happened that you have absolutely no control over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it could happen who knows when. Yeah.
But your role-playing as Imogen after it has just been so good. I'm so sad.
Don't say it.
I have crazy conspiracy theories about Imogen, you guys.
That you're not sharing with
us? No, guys. No, we talk about it all the time on the way home from the game. I 100, that's okay. I don't want to call it. I don't want to be right again.
You don't want to be right again?
You're the destroyer of worlds. You are.
You are the moon.
Uh-huh.
I am the moon.
This whole time.
I am the moon. You're going to go again?
Is my turn now?
Are we going? Are we keeping going?
Oh, I'm looking. The teleprompter. It says, ah!
Oh,
listen! Did you hear that? It sounds like it's time to pull another question from the Tower of Inquiry!
Inquiry!
Ah! Robot. Sure.
Robot.
Hold my tankard.
Robot.
Can
you stand up? Do you need help?
Dang it.
Thank you, teleprompter, for moving in a very creepy way and the scary noise.
How?
Come here,
Patrick. Buddy.
Oh, my God.
I have
I'm
many
so
concerns.
Here for this right now. You got it, man.
Okay.
This is a precarious tower.
This tower is already fucked.
That's Laura's fault. She did you dirty. Huh? I went
south. Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Let's go, robot.
Okay. 45.
45.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet.
That reach is.
I'm proud of you, robot.
Yeah. Yeah, robot.
I hate it.
How much did you all know about each other's characters before C3 started? To those who coordinated their backstories, how was the idea approached? Sivzy at Tumblr.
How much did we know? It's been a minute.
I think we shared we shared what classes we were going to be so that we didn't have like overlap.
Yes.
And we knew going in that we didn't want to be as secretive as we were going into campaign two.
Correct. Yep. Me and you, of course,
we
chatted a decent amount.
We ended up pairing up our backstories because we both wanted to be sorcerers.
Yes.
And so we're like, let's just be witches together.
Witchy bitches. And then...
Everything's blue.
I
put these back on. Oh, shit. Okay, there we go.
Then, of course, like, Aurum and Fern went into EXU, so we knew a little bit more about them going into EXU first.
Yeah, and then Taliesin and Sam coordinated for FCG, for their backstory.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was kind of like three sets of three crews that came together as a singular crew.
Yeah.
And then you fucking died.
Bertrand was an already established thing.
Yeah.
I actually knew a little bit about Ashley's backstory
before EXU, because when we were coming up with our Campaign 3 characters, right. I accidentally created a character that was very similar to Ashley's character.
True. That's right.
And I was telling her a little bit about it, and she was like, that's me.
Because you're originally going to have some like Feywild connection stuff, right?
Yeah.
And like the hag stuff too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
I had a different character originally before we even got to the Bertrand thing.
That's right.
Which maybe I'll save as a backup so I won't talk about it too much. But I was
God, yes.
I was like, yeah. I love
that character.
I want to be more chaotic.
Yeah.
I was like, do whatever.
Be what you want, man.
Yeah. Well, you came out with Ford playing someone so like captain-y and leadership-y, so.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Done that.
It's really hard to play somebody that's like logical and reserved.
It's hard.
You gotta be in the mood for that.
How are you having fun with that?
Yeah, you have to be in the mood for it, and you have to be the kind of person that enjoys that leadership position, whether it be because you don't get to be that in life too often, or you know, you just that sense of control in a group of people that look to that or don't have that, it can work out really well. Mm-hmm. But if you've done it for a bit, like be Chetney.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sibsy.
You got it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sibsy.
Thanks, Sibsy.
Let's pull one more. Does that mean from the Tower of Terror from our mind?
Yeah, you haven't
gone yet. I was the first.
Let's go, Travis.
You're up again.
You were the first?
Yeah, I went first.
Oh, well, that's because you said the secret word. That's not because of...
Oh.
That's fine.
I still say you got to do it with the gloves.
With the gloves?
Hard mode.
Use your gloved hand.
All right. Guys, I suck at this game.
No, you're going to do so good.
That's not moving at all.
Oh, you're going to do it. You got this.
Oh, no.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
Oh, what the fuck? I know that fucking laugh. I know who that is. I know who that is. And they almost got fucking elbowed. I hate the fucking ring so much.
That's amazing.
I love you literally preface with how much you hate the ring.
Oh, I hate it so much. Oh, God.
You got it.
36.
36.
God, my butthole is up inside my large intestines. You know, like how I just froze in absolute preternatural fear? Sit down so I can hide the dookie stain in my pants.
One of these days, we gotta get you in a Bria and a haunted maze.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh my God, I'm so glad I saw that before. It was right next to me. That would've been real bad.
So close.
Oh.
We got so close. Oh my God.
How did you come up with your character's name / does it have any special meaning from Dylan Daniels?
Ooh, oh, that's question. A good one. Yeah.
Oh, I can actually start this.
Oh, yes.
So, Chutney is not Chetney. They have no relation, of course. They're not nearly the same character. But his last name, have we talked about this?
Oh, I don't know. Have we?
No.
Pockepee?
I don't know if you have.
Yeah, so, so Pockepee is, when Ronan was growing up, there were only a couple of things that he would like babble or murmur or say. But like at a young age, he started going, Pockepee. And we were like, what's Pockepee, buddy? And we'd be like at the breakfast table, like eating. And then he would like look up in the corner of the room and go, Pockepee. And we were like, no, there's no infant ghost that is named Pockepee. And then I was like, hey, you know what Jenny's last name should be? Pockepee. And Laura goes, you're going to give it power.
You're manifesting it every time you speak it out loud.
Yeah, exactly. This is what it's wanting.
We created this sinkhole ourselves.
So there you go.
I love Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Pockepee.
I had like a massive list for potential like Laudna names, if you remember.
Yeah.
We were doing our Vanity Fair photo shoot.
Yeah.
And I had like a dozen. And ended up on Laudna because I wanted something. Laudna is in reference to laudanum. I've seen a couple of people ask that, and you are correct. But just wanted something that sounded a little like weird and like hazy and yeah. I don't know. fucks with your head. Mm-hmm. So became Laudna.
Fucking Britney.
You really did just freeze.
Yeah, well, you know, you could try and punch the ring girl, but you might lose that hand. That's all I'm saying. She didn't say 7 days, and I didn't see her eyes.
Yeah.
That's where everything
if she'd have been around. In a white dress.
If there had been a TV with static, that would have been worse.
Oh.
Let's stop talking about it.
I don't know. I don't know how I got. You're just terrified. You're sure it's gonna happen again.
It's a little, when it gets too fucking quiet, I don't trust you people now.
I just really like the name Imogen.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good
I
reason.
Just like the name Imogen, yeah. And I wanted it to be like flowy and soft sounding, and it is.
Yeah.
And you know what Imogen spells backwards? World Ender.
Yeah.
Ruidus.
Dangerous.
Ruidus.
Thank you, Dylan Daniels. I'm going to squint.
I feel like you keep forgetting that you're the host.
Yeah. I do. I don't ever. I don't know.
You're just sitting here and you'll start going.
I got a lot of responsibilities during the day hosting, so not one of them. Remember, if you have a subtly suggestive question for us, you can enter your question for the Tower of Inquiry at critroll.com/tower. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go too far because when we come back, we are going to be playing Five Nights at Freddy's.
Wait, we're actually playing Five Nights at Freddy's?
What is that?
Oh,
this is awesome. It's a great game.
Why are you acting like that?
I don't know. Go to break.
We're going to take a break. Break. I'm about to break.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
Pandora makes it easy for you to find your favorite music. Discover new artists and genres by selecting any song or album, and we'll make you a personalized station for free. Download on the Apple App Store or Google Play and enjoy the soundtrack to your life.